This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Hello.
It's crisp out there. It's ball freezing, the ball achingly cold. That is how cold it is. There's no two ways about it, right? I mean, Poppy doesn't have balls and she's frozen.
Right.
Damn straight. Good morning, everybody.
What is going on there?
I'm doing some Kardashian-style vocal fry. You know how they talk.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It takes forever for them to get a word out.
Thank you. Okay.
Called Chloe.
Chloe's the only one with a bit of anything like upstairs.
They're all... I mean, really. If you knew the zombie apocalypse was coming, you wouldn't save one of them to be on your team, would you? Not a chance. You'd be in big trouble. I spoke to Ben about this the other day, didn't I?
Yeah, we often talk about...
Who would the Kardashians?
Zombie apocalypse.
No, who would be on your team? Like, if the zombies... If you really knew for sure that the zombie apocalypse was coming and you had, I don't know, 2 days to organize your team...
How big is this team?
You could decide, but you don't want too many because you've got to feed them all, remember?
Wow.
Oh. So you want to keep it... I think you want to keep it down to like a tight, like 10.
That's too many. I would have six.
Six, huh?
Ugh. Five.
You already know who they
are? Well, when you think you get to a place and you're looking for resources, if there's 10 of you and there's like, I don't know, food for 4 people. Like, there's never like a lot of things.
I would... I've got my list. I know exactly who I'd take.
Who?
And you know what? I'm sorry. There are a lot of people who I love who are going to have to be eaten by the zombies. Because not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody's going to be able to join my squad.
Wow.
And rightfully so. If in this life you haven't proven yourself to be an asset or someone that we can rely on, sorry.
But Poppy, can you imagine dragging along someone who is a dead weight and who's going to slow you down and who's going to become noisy and attract the zombies?
Right.
You know? That's why you don't need a Kardashian.
Attract the zombies.
Yeah. You need people who are tough and strong. You need people who have sharp brains. You don't need anybody who you can't trust. Trust is the number one aspect. Because if you can't trust someone and you think you might be a little suspicious of their motives, you've got to kill them immediately. You've got to wipe them out.
I have no chance of survival if that's the case.
I think you're taking it a bit deep. Like, sure, you need that, but you also need someone that can, like, just kill something. No problem. Just slice off heads.
Someone who's good with a weapon.
Just, like, break shit. Like, right. Just no second thought.
Danai Gurira from The Walking Dead.
She would be it.
Oh, yes.
What about Michonne? Yeah, she's mine.
You could give her an apple and she would kill someone.
Right.
Like, that's what you want.
But you also need people with some... You know, certain abilities and skills. Like, you'd need people who could
hotwire a car
or fly a plane and things like that. Because you'd still have those around, and you'd be able to use them to your advantage if you were smart enough. And you'd need people who could do that stuff. I'm telling you,
shit.
Then you start looking for a place. You got to think about this stuff. I'm telling you, if the zombies come, I'm all prepared. I know.
And you would need someone small and fast. I'm not trying to sound like a thief here, but you need someone to like fit into small gaps or...
Sia.
No, he's not small or fast. He's just Sia. Sia's noisy and dramatic.
Very.
Wait.
Therefore, that bypasses small and fast.
Let me sell myself here.
Okay, go.
Do you really think Sia's going to run fast at any stage in life? What is that going to do for his paws?
You're in front of the council. Go on. Tell us why we should choose you and not leave you here for the zombies.
I have entertainment value.
Yes.
So in the depressing state of living in zombie land, I will be able to distract you from your sad reality.
And lose focus and then get eaten by a zombie. Terrible idea.
Shit. I have a endless catalog of show tunes once you are bored on the road.
How are you going to charge the player of such things?
Oh, that's just my voice. I just warm up my chords.
I promise
noise.
You, the first thing to go is show tunes.
Well, we never would have escaped the zombies unless we had that
I won't
That's basically season 9 of Walking Dead. It's just show tunes, actually.
I won't eat a lot of your food. that you've stocked up.
That's true.
That's a fair point. See? Very good point. Lead with that one when you get to the council.
Otherwise, we're dead.
We've got a lot to get to this morning. We've got a very busy show. The burning platform today, justice is still in the Caribbean, sunning it on some tropical island.
Clearly hasn't found his mark yet, has he?
You know, life is so hard. And, you know, next time journalists tell you that they're sad and they're depressed and they don't have great lives, then just think about Justice Malala. He's sitting on a Caribbean beach somewhere having
justice
a good...
Justice isn't exactly your everyday journalist.
No, he's not. I mean, most journalists deserve to earn 5,000 rand a month. Justice, obviously, is not in that category. And he is having the time of his life at the moment, but he has sent us well wishes and said, guys, I wish I could join you, but I'm on a beach.
Oh.
And then that was the end of the communication.
Wow.
And then he sent a picture of him giving us the middle finger like Maradona did at the match against Nigeria the other night.
But when Justice is on the beach, he's actually looking at it through a telescope kind of sight because he's about to murder someone. So when he's on the beach, he's not really on the beach.
There we go.
So we do have the burning platform today, but it is with a dude who's written a book called Who Will Rule 2019? It's actually a very interesting book. Justice wrote a bit of a foreword for it, which is why I picked up on it. Justice said, a clear-eyed, evidence-driven, and thrilling look at our recent political past that presents intriguing scenarios for how things will pan out in future. And his name is Yan Uberi. He's going to pop by, and he will be giving us the burning platform today, brought to you by Nando's. That's a little bit later on. Our friend Debbie Droke from the US is here. She's going to stop in and talk to us about what's going on in America.
Nice.
I got a message from Debbie last night, just before I was going to bed. She and the other Democrats are in an absolute shit fit at the moment over Justice Kennedy on the Supreme Court stepping down. He was one of the few Democrats left on the Supreme Court of Appeal in the United States on the bench. And you know, this means that Trump's going to get to appoint another Supreme Court justice. The Democrats are losing their minds. They've just had such a terrible 2 years. I mean, being a Democrat's like being one of the few survivors in the zombie apocalypse for them at the moment. They really are having a shit time. And Justice Kennedy is one of the level-headed dudes. You know, this means for a lot of people that, you know, Roe v. Wade will be overturned and a whole bunch of other things that I don't think are very good. I don't think Roe v. Wade should be overturned anyway. That's the big case where they decided that, you know, women had the right to decide whether or not they wanted an abortion or not. Quite a big deal.
It is a huge deal, and I can't believe we're still here in 2018.
Yeah, now we're going to end up with some, you know, Trump's going to put, I don't know, who else was in The Apprentice?
Because he did.
Who's he going to put on?
He had Omarosa.
He'll put Omarosa on the Supreme Court. Goodness. Justice Omarosa. Okay, everybody, here's how it's going to go down.
She's a mess.
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, Jesus. Justice Dennis Rodman. You know, it's going to happen, I'm telling you now.
I've got a very important Supreme Court announcement to make today. I'm going to nominate my friend, who is the greatest. He's the best. He helped me to bridge the gap with North Korea. Now my very good friend, Kim Jong-un. Mm. His name is Justice Dennis Rodman.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be taking a lot of coke on the bench. A lot of coke.
We're spoiled for choice here. It could be Kanye West.
Mm. Oh, well, no. That would be fun.
Oh, no.
Good.
See, a lot of progressives will be torn about this because they'll go, well, at least he's making a black appointment, whether it's Dennis Rodman, Kanye West, or Omarosa. But it's, you know, it's not necessarily the person we want, but at least we're making some progress. Like the Supreme
That would actually be the move.
It would be one hell of a move. It would confuse people so much on the left, can you imagine? So we'll speak to Debbie later on about that and many other things. What else can I tell you? Sia and I getting all fired up about this London trip.
Sure. I don't blame you. Y'all are interviewing some really special and important people.
Yeah, so, like, can you guys tell us things? Or?
Not yet, no. You're going to have to wait and see. We'll be checking in on the show next week.
Ben is on the outskirts of a show. Everything. He's a part of.
Always. Okay. Constantly. And look how much joy that brings here.
No. I'm just on my own.
You know, the problem is we don't like to tell Ben too much. He gets out of control.
Unpredictable. That's my big personality trait.
Unpredictable and out of control. I didn't know that about you, Ben.
So much
stuff. We'll miss you guys.
Yeah, we'll miss you terribly.
No, you won't. That's fine. Because we won't really miss you.
Oh, Ben.
Okay, so you know, you guys, when you come back, it's a customary thing to always bring gifts.
Have you seen the pound?
Have you seen my face right now? Oh. Looking at you with expectation.
Have you seen my face?
If you guys could just get licorice all sorts and wine gums from the Bassett brand, it's the one thing that you need to get when
is
you go
it?
To England.
Is that what you want?
Just
oh.
it. That's right. it.
That's fine. That we can do.
Quantity at your own discretion, but that's it.
Okay. All right, that's easy.
It's like the send rusks of late winter.
Do you know, I went to our rusk cupboard yesterday thinking I'll
There's
have
a rusk cupboard.
We're never going to go.
There was, and it has been utterly depleted. Someone went in there in the dead of night over the last 2.5 weeks. We had so many rusks in there.
Gareth,
I swear to God,
I monitored that.
We had the world's biggest supply of rusks.
I monitored it daily, and there was this chunk where a box went, but like a biggish box. Connors?
See, I hate to say this, but
there was a lot, and then there was less, and then there was a chunk, and then there was the scraps.
There are there are thieves among us. I think it is time for us to install closed circuit television in every room and monitor our people.
The male toilet and around the rust cupboard.
By law, you can't put a camera in a toilet.
Are you not allowed to? Not.
That's...
I tell you, it would stop a lot of trouble.
Well, we'd, yeah. I mean, look, the big crime around here would obviously be solved, but...
Could we put microphones?
Who wants to hear people peeing?
Clearly we need to find
people. I got an email from someone the other day who said that they are very, very worried that the show is too lavatorial first thing in the morning. We tend to discuss too much to do with toilets. Do you want to hear that email, or should we ignore that and carry on talking about toilets?
No,
it's up to you. You're the one that makes it lavatorial.
Hey, Gareth. I was listening to part one of Tuesday last week. You see, people listen when they want to with podcasts. They don't listen to whatever's on. So you have a disgusting obsession, and so do the team, with crapping. Have you noticed how often you talk about it? It's very funny. I love the show.
Okay.
So I get mixed signals there. I mean, like, you want us to talk about it? Do you not?
What are you saying?
Yeah, I mean, you seem to enjoy it too.
And at the same time, Gareth admitted his obsession with crapping, so you're not really going to...
You know, it's not obsession. It's really not. I find it appalling that we still have to do this.
To what?
Like, we should be able to... There should be some more decent way for us to get rid of waste. Our bodies should process it differently. The fact that we have to sit down somewhere and push out turds is just revolting. It's revolting. It's totally unnecessary.
It's brilliant. Would you rather sweat it out gradually throughout the day?
I would like it. I would like us to just produce a little capsule, a little pill with... I mean, surely we can recycle some of that stuff. Our bodies should have improved. We should be able to... You know, I look at dogs and wild animals, and I see them doing this, and I go, why do we still have to do that? I thought we'd evolve beyond it. Look, we can create the iPad. We can... Yeah, why are we still shitting if we can do all this amazing stuff?
Wonderful point. But at the same time, nature is about balance. And I think pooing is a humbling experience we all have to go through. Sometimes it's easier and fun.
It's very humbling.
And sometimes it's
Have you ever walked in on anyone ever doing that? It's the worst. You're very, very vulnerable when that happens.
Completely.
As a human being, that humbling. Is the most vulnerable you'll ever be. There's never a more... Like, that's when you're at your most fearful and endangered. You are. Someone walks in on you like that, you're just caught. You don't know what to do.
And you haven't even done anything.
No, but you're so humiliated and embarrassed just by virtue of your position. Oh, it's horrible.
If you think this general conversation is too much about bowel movements, et cetera, et cetera, then that person who's in the email shouldn't listen to the Mark Lottering interview at 8.
Oh, wow, that's going to be so much fun. We got Mark Lottering at 8 this morning. Now, he's probably, I mean, he's... just one of the most talented people.
I love him.
You know, he makes up most of his act. He's a comedian. South Africa's... he's been on television. I mean, Mark Lottering's well known to everybody. As far as South African comedy, he's in the A-list. You know, he's one of those guys. He can command any fee he wants. He's always getting work from TV companies that want him to host things. And he's the kind of guy who can do anything. He popped in yesterday and... He said to me, he's so tired of doing these interviews to promote his shows. But then this he told me afterwards, but we had such an interesting conversation about everything not to do with his shows. I think you're going to enjoy it. We laughed. solidly for about 40 minutes. And he's hilarious. He makes up his whole act there and then on the show, on the stage.
Wow, that's
he, you know, a lot of people, like I know Jerry Seinfeld, for example, will write down every single line that he has to deliver, and he'll rehearse them, and he'll practice them, and he'll practice the delivery. He's a real master at that.
Jeez.
And there's a genius to that as well, right?
Yeah.
There's a proper genius to being able to memorize and figure out your entire act and lay it out in your head, and there's a beginning and there's an end, and it all ties together. It's an amazing thing to be able to do. I mean, that's why comedians to me are, they're the top of the performing arts ladder. And they have to put up with so much crap because it's hard to be a comic. You know, you do one not so funny show.
Yep.
Everybody wants to kill you. Yeah. And you're expected to be funny even when you're off.
Mm.
It's crazy. And then Mark is there's a different kind of genius. He goes up there and he kind of makes it, he puts it together based on what the audience are responding to. It's very interesting.
And that's a skill to be able to read an audience.
Yeah. Yeah, he's terrific at it. What a skill. What a talent.
And then at the same time, with all of that said, he spoke very thoroughly about his colonoscopy.
Yes, well, he went for you see, he's changed his diet. I don't want to spoil too much of the interview, but he's changed his diet.
To what?
Well, you know, Poppy, a lot of people in their late 30s, early 40s, mm-hmm. they hit this patch where they're like, okay, I'd realize now I'm not going to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to tidy up my life.
Okay.
So they stop taking drugs and drinking, and
because I know Mark can drink.
He still drinks, but a lot of people do this. I'm not even talking about Mark Lottering now, but a lot of people reach their 30s, 40s, and they, particularly towards the end of their 30s, and they go, okay, I'm halfway through my life, maybe.
Sure.
And now I'm going to start sorting some stuff out. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to live the right way. I'm going to have a routine. I'm going to sleep enough. All that stuff that we talk about so much of the time.
Mm.
And then they end up doing something, you know, they haven't done before. I mean, for example, Ben's still doing the cold showers.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that works.
It does work.
You
high
do it
five
too?
To you. I used to. I mean,
when
we've
did
got
you
hot
stop?
Water now. When I left.
mean,
when I left
you
school.
Mean you weren't doing it voluntarily?
No, at school it was a thing because we went to boarding school. So, yeah. Like, if the hot water runs out, you have a cold shower. And so I'm used to cold showers. Even mm-hmm. now, like if there's no hot water, I'll have a cold shower.
You don't
no
mind?
Sweat. No.
Your body can handle it.
And it's great. Yeah. I feel a lot better. Obviously, you're not trying to do that every day, Ben.
No, he is.
No, he is.
No, it's like,
wow.
It's just become a thing now. It feels better.
In winter.
Yeah.
Ben was telling me while we're talking, let's focus on Ben for a minute.
Oh, gosh.
He told me yesterday. He's found a new gym because he used to go to the one across the road here, which is frightening. I mean, like, you could be
I've seen that
you could
gym.
Be molested.
It's like, rough. Straight dogs are trying to sell you like counterfeit handbags. It's
whoa,
such a
whoa.
Have gangster dogs.
Oh, it's hardcore.
So you found a new gym.
Yeah. So because this gym was so dodgy, they basically moved everyone to a nicer gym up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice because it's so clean. So no one's put like misery sweats onto the machines yet. Like you can get
brand
into
new equipment.
Brand new equipment. You can get into a treadmill and you can watch Netflix on the treadmill, on the screen. Or it weaves you through this little canyon and there's machines I don't even know what to do on. And then there's like a sprinting treadmill.
Wow.
So you basically, the faster you run, and it's not on any sort of automated belt, so
you
just sprint.
But you haven't been to gym for how many years now?
It's been a long time.
No, it's been a while, and is it hard to get back into it?
No, I forget how much I actually enjoyed it, so why did I ever stop? But it's a really cool gym, and because it's so fresh and so clean, I'll go back, and it's
clean.
Yeah.
So fresh and so clean. Bom, bom, bom.
And it's, everywhere you look, it's like, yeah, I'll do that,
no,
I'll
show
do that.
Tunes, yeah.
So I'm massively excited about this.
That's cool.
And it's directly on the way home from here at the studio.
I have been very disciplined for the last probably week and a half, 2 weeks, and I'm not going to give it up. Even though we're going to London next week, I'm keeping this up.
You guys can go for a run in the park.
Yeah, I did squats yesterday. Monday. I could not. Last night, I was like a 1,000-year-old man. Every time I got up, I'd go. Every time I sat down, I'd go, I'd need to like lean on things.
Did you sound like Bill Clinton?
I did. I sounded like Clinton the whole time.
I need to sit down. Oh my God, my ass hurts. My thighs.
Oh, askies.
I did. I sounded like Bill Clinton. You know, talking on the phone. If you called me, I would have been like, "Ah, hello. Yeah, I'm a little busy at the moment." Jesus, I couldn't move. By the way, World Cup. Can we just give it a? I know Ben's got lots to cover in the sport here, but
yeah, see, I knew this was going to happen. You're going to talk about World Cup. It's going to come to my sport. And I'm going to be like,
yeah, "Your sport's going to be fine." It's not like you don't have enough to talk about there, but Jesus,
we have to talk about Super Rugby at this stage.
People are. I'm blown away by how unpredictable this World Cup is. I reckon this is the best World Cup for bookies ever. Because if you'd given me R1,000 the beginning of the World Cup and said, you could put this on any team, just do not lose R1,000. Mm. Just make a tiny profit for me or keep it the same and I'll be happy. I would have said, safe bet, Germany.
Mm.
Safe bet, Argentina. I would have said safe bet France. I'm still in for those two. I would have said safe bet. Who else, Ben? I mean, probably would have been okay if you'd gone for.
Well, see, when you look at the form, Gareth, all of these teams were fantastic during the qualifiers. Yeah. Even England was, I think, unbeaten.
Yes.
And so then you go back to World Cup history. It's. Look, I'm not the biggest football fanatic or expert in the world.
But I agree
with what you just said.
These are the champions, the Germans.
Is Spain still in?
Spain's still in?
Yep.
But this is a very unpredictable World Cup. You could have lost your money on any of those teams. Well, and you still could.
Spain lost their coach the day before the World Cup.
Oh, my God.
Played into all of this.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying. So, listen, we've got to address one thing. It's very important before we get to the five things you need to know this morning. And, Poppy, it might be your fault that...
Address what?
Well, Adam Deploy on Twitter yesterday was the first person to notify me.
Hi, Adam.
Yes. Your call, Garrett, to Joe Jackson the other day pushed him over the edge.
It did.
He must have known that Poppy has taken over there in place of Mabale and Mabale has left. This is on you, Poppy. You killed Joseph Jackson. That's a very cruel thing to say, Adam. You know, in a world where there were things go wrong some of the time.
That's a horrible thing to say.
You can't blame poor Poppy. And by the way, she hadn't taken over from Mabale.
Exactly.
It's a different thing that we've got going on here. And
Hello, compounded guilt now.
Jesus, I mean, what a thing to start your week with, you know?
With Joe Jackson's death on you. Yeah.
I know, on your hands. Was he in the death pool?
No.
Oh, you're kidding me. We keep on missing it. Anthony Bourdain wasn't in there.
Mm.
Joseph Jackson's not in there.
When I wrote the death pool up, everybody was unanimously okay with it.
Yeah, we obviously missed some fairly clear front runners here. I mean, Joseph Jackson, he was
never going to die though. We had no idea.
Mm. I have to admit that when we were chatting to him that day, I was like, "This man is still alive."
Well, there was a flood of messages to me last night on social media from people who listen to the show and know that Joseph Jackson used to call us all the time, and they said, one of them was along the lines of, wow, poor Michael, he must be shivering in heaven because Joseph's on his way up and he's going to be moving bricks around heaven.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's going to happen. Poor Michael, having a very rough time.
It's quite eerie.
This was the happiest time of Michael's existence.
Being away from Joe.
Yeah, because Joseph Jackson tormented this child. And that's why he became the nutcase that he was as an adult. And I will give credit where it's due. The great music that we have as a result is probably because Joseph Jackson fucked up Michael's head early on.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless him for that, because we would never have had Billie Jean or Man in the Mirror or any of that stuff. And you know what, Poppy? There's a price for everything. Genius doesn't just happen.
That's true.
Or obvious lyrics like, have you seen my childhood? Because Joe stole it away.
Right, absolutely.
It's quite obvious.
But all of that notwithstanding, poor Michael was happy. First time in his existence he's been happy without Joseph in heaven. And now Joseph's up there to join him again.
Mm.
Poor guy. Oh, what a life.
It's a bit of a coincidence that he died 2 days after Michael. Michael died on the 25th of June. Joe died yesterday on the 27th.
Well, of course. Probably there was some profit motive there.
How? Joe profited even on his own death.
Poppy and Sia are both wearing green, which was the Joseph Jackson's favorite color because it was the color of money.
Mm-hmm.
In order to to commemorate him,
green on a black base.
That's right. That's Joseph's favorite.
What did you
color.
Say? Because Joseph was black.
No, I was just elaborating on the difference in coordination.
Black is the color of mourning, you know, in some cultures, and green is the color of money in Joseph Jackson culture. So there we have it. Do you want to hear the five things you need to know this morning?
Yes, Gareth, okay. I do.
It's time. Let's get stuck into that because we don't all have all day to mess around, and some people only come in here for the news. They're not interested in hearing us talk nonsense. So let's get to it. Stop wasting their time, shall we? Here it is. Yes. All right. Well, let's start off with the trade unions. I know this is boring and most people fall asleep when I even say the words trade unions, but the Num Nums and Solidarity trade unions met with Eskom once again yesterday, and they have rejected Eskom's 5% wage hike. Who do these trade unions think they are? Eskom met with the three unions when the utility also offered above inflation increases for the next year in 2020. However, NUMSA says the latest offer is not one that it could take back to its members, who are demanding a 9% increase. I don't know. We read that article yesterday by Magnus Haystack in MoneyWeb, right? About how the economy is in tatters at the moment and how we're in no position to be able to pay anybody absolutely more than the bare minimum. In fact, if you have a job right now in South Africa, you're among the luckiest, you know, what is it, 65% of the population who actually have jobs?
Yep.
You know, somewhere around there. It's a very, very messy, tricky situation that we're in at the moment. Eskom, they are being paid at Eskom average salary, 750,000 rand a year. Average. That's from the tea lady to the CEO. Average salary, 750,000 rand a year. That is a monstrous salary.
I was about to do the maths.
And there's a lot of people who work at Eskom that we don't need, and there are a few people that we do need. And I do want to be clear about this. Like, there are some very, very important, very clever, very capable people at Eskom who I don't doubt deserve the salaries that they're getting, but not all of them. And we've got an overinflated civil service in this country, and government is not a place anybody should want to work. It should be paying less than the private sector, and you should do it some of the time because you have a feeling of civil duty, civic duty, of a need to contribute to the society. There are a lot of good people in the world who have that need, and that's why the civil service exists, so that it can give them a place where they can do good things for the community, where they can do things for the country. The private sector is profit-driven. They don't have to do any of that stuff. And Eskom, the problem with Eskom is this is a monopoly. And I hear Mkabisi Jonas and some other people starting to say, well, we've got to privatize parts of this because that's the whole issue, is that it's all run by government. So every time they screw up, government just bail them out. Eskom, I wish someone would explain to the unions that Eskom owes 350 billion rand to the taxpayers because we bailed them out to that tune over the last couple of years. 350 billion rand is a fortune. So if you want more, ask the management at Eskom where that money's gone. Ask them how they've mismanaged that. And if you don't like it and you think that they're shitty managers, which is what a lot of the workers are saying, resign. If you're so confident that you can go out there and find other work and you deserve your 9% increase, try your hand in the private sector where you will earn less.
Mm.
But go for it. I mean, don't just make this about everyone else, because you know who's going to foot the bill for your 9% increase. It's Poppy and Sia and Gareth and Ben and everybody else in this country who pays taxes. And we say a big fuck you. Under pressure from populists, the EU has doubled down on curbing migration. I think this is just because Germany were out of the World Cup last night, but Angela Merkel.
What did she say?
Well, all the European Union leaders met in Brussels on Thursday to agree new measures to restrict arrivals across the Mediterranean as growing popular discontent over immigration puts pressure on governments from Germany to Italy. See, they're all in Europe having to deal at the moment with this influx of people who are leaving terrible places where there's war and there's poverty and there's distress. And those people are going to Europe. And Europe can't accommodate all these people because Europeans are the ones footing the bill there.
Sure.
And they're all going, well, I don't know why we should have a whole lot of people from Algeria just getting on a boat and landing
coming
here
over.
And hopping in. And, you know, illegal immigrants we're talking about. We're not talking about people who fill in the paperwork. And if you've ever tried to do that, maybe you've got family members who've emigrated or immigrated from one country to another. It's a tough business. If you don't do it right and you do it illegally, sometimes bad things happen to you, like you get sent back home.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta make sure that you do it right. And the European Union is saying, well, we've got a problem, which is what a lot of people have been saying for the longest time. But I do think it has something to do with Germany being thrown out of the World Cup. Now, Angela Merkel's like, well, this is it. No more.
That's how she sounds.
I don't know if you saw yesterday, but the SARS inquiry is going ahead. And there's,
that's a movie.
Up. There are some beans being spilled there.
It's so great.
Have you watched some of it?
I have.
There's some of it in the news last night.
Jeez, it's amazing.
These people are telling stories about Tom Moyane and how he ran it like the mafia.
So I just want to know, for clarity's sake, are all our phone calls recorded?
It's a lot of them, huh?
Sherbet.
What are you worried about, Poppy? Is there a phone call you don't want people to know
Might
about?
Might know Tom.
Oh, joking. Shit.
I'm kidding. I don't know him at all.
You know, this is the problem. It's like we don't realize, but we've got this huge NIS, this government information, you know, national, whatever, intelligence services. They've got this massive campus out in the east of Pretoria.
Yes, yes.
Where they are, where they're recording phone calls. You know that FICA stuff that you filled in?
Now,
you think that's just so that they can catch criminals. Well, it's also so they can monitor you, and you just got to be careful.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, someone showed me an app the other day. You might want to download this.
Yes.
It's called Secrypt, S-E-E, Crypt. And it is the only app that can absolutely, if you'll pardon the pun, guarantee encryption on both sides. So if you've got things to hide from government, and I think we should all just keep as much information away from government as possible, because why the hell should they have info? They're going to use it against you at some point, right? Because they're government. And you should have this app. You should put it on your phone. Of course, everybody that you talk to has to also have it. So if you've got sensitive conversations you don't want anyone to be a part of, Secrypt.
Oh.
Yeah. One of the lawyers in a new series that we're putting together here at Cliff Central, he's an investigator and a lawyer. He deals in crime intelligence.
Oh.
Very clever guy. He told me that is the only app that he uses on his phone.
Sure.
Yeah. So take a look at that one. Anyway, Tom Moyane, this whole thing is going on. Five witnesses testified. They detailed how he suspended the entire SARS executive committee without any warning. He was like a cowboy. He just came in there and made the rules up for himself. And you talk about that $350 billion that Eskom sucked out of the treasury. Do you know that because of all these dodgy people who were never taxed, the Guptas, these illicit cigarette traders, all of these guys, we could have plugged that hole? Because it's almost exactly the amount of money that's missing from our tax collection.
But the Guptas are also getting money back.
No, well, isn't that bizarre? You don't pay your taxes and you get money back. It's a great deal that they did there with their friend Jacob Zuma. Anyway, Tom Moyane is being investigated, and the second day of the SARS inquiry, headed by retired Judge Robert Nugent, has concluded, and there's some damning testimony by former senior employees who've outlined how senior executives were purged and key programs aimed at enhancing tax compliance were dismantled. You got some news for us?
I do. Do you know who Terry Crews is?
Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Out of the
Brooklyn
US.
Nine-Nine guy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So he's giving testimony, or he was rather. They have these Me Too Senate hearings that are going on at the moment because they're trying to codify a sexual assault survivor's bill of rights.
Wow.
So he gave his testimony, and it was actually quite harrowing. I mean, all of these Me Too stories are quite something. But I think for me, his was really quite touching because, one, he's a guy. So we haven't heard from a lot of guys. We haven't heard a lot from famous guys. But his assault took place in 2016 at a party, and he says that
he was assaulted?
Yes, he
What's
was.
What's his name?
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews.
You'll recognize him when you see him.
He's a very large, strong man.
Yes.
And he was assaulted?
But Kevin Spacey will stop at nothing.
Well, we're not saying that it was Kevin. Well, he's not saying, but he's saying that in 2016 he was at a party and a director at a motion picture department. Yes,
I know who you're talking about.
Grabbed his genitals twice.
Jesus,
at
you
a
have
party.
To be pretty goddamn confident to grab Terry Crews' genitals.
Oh, when you party like Maradona, you can do lots of things.
But twice, not once, but twice. Yeah. And I think the one thing that I was sort of caught by is that he detailed like his childhood with his dad being abusive towards his mother and him growing up being, you know, to some extent emotionally abusive to some of the women that he'd encountered in his life as a result of his childhood. Mm-hmm. And he says that the one thing that kind of stopped him from not violently reacting to this assault, was the fact that his wife had conditioned him and had prepped him that this was going to happen and that he should just walk away. And that's what he did.
Wow.
I think this guy is connected somehow to Adam Sandler, the person who assaulted Terry. I think he's Adam Sandler's manager or something. Yes.
You're right. So, you must actually watch and listen to him speak.
You, this Terry Crews, if you're going to go up and grab his genitalia, you've got to be very sure of yourself. I mean, this is a guy, he'll take you down, man.
It's not about how big the person is. These directors, producers, they all feel they're in this position of power, which they can leverage anything. So if he wants to go touch Terry Crews' junk, he's going to.
And obviously he'd been eyeing it.
2016, while at a party with my wife, I was sexually assaulted by a successful Hollywood agent. The assault lasted only minutes. But what he was effectively telling me while he held my genitals in his hand,
Jesus,
was that he held the power. As I shared my story, I was told over and over that this was not abuse, that this was just a joke, that this was just horseplay. But I can say that one man's horseplay is another man's humiliation. The first reaction was to be violent. And I immediately held back.
Why weren't you? You're a big, powerful man. Why didn't you?
Dianne Feinstein, she's like, you should have hit him. Wow, that's quite something, huh?
Senator, as a black man in America,
say it as it is. I think it's important.
You only have a few shots at success. You only have a few chances to make yourself a viable member of the community. My wife, for years, prepared me. She said, if you ever get goaded, if you ever get prodded, if you ever have anyone try to push you into any kind of situation, don't do it. Don't be violent. And you know, I was told we're going to do everything in our power. We are going to handle this, Terry. You're right. It is unacceptable.
Wow.
And then they disappear.
What an interesting story. Sure. Because you see, as you said, you mostly hear about women who've been assaulted and molested and messed with like this. It's kind of scary to think that this happens to dudes as well. And as Ben pointed out, it is a power thing.
It is.
Like, I'm going to tell you who's boss.
The guy actually said, I hold the power.
Yeah, I mean, you say that to someone while you're holding their junk is pretty, that's hectic.
Yeah, that's telling them Jesus. A lot. All right. And then, I don't know if you saw last night on Twitter, this has me really worried. But that video of Julius Malema and Tara Lakota at a hearing in Limpopo about hashtag the land.
Oh, what happened?
They were basically about to punch each other.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me not say punch each other. Julius was going to punch somebody. And they were sitting together at this hearing. And apparently Mr. Lakota said that the hearing had been staged and that obviously hacked Julius because he wants to talk about the land all day, every day. And they look like they're about to get into something hectic.
Well, do you want to hear what Julius said afterwards?
Tell us.
All right.
This process is staged. I'm saying, no, Terra, you are wrong. It's not staged. Okay, if you think the process is staged, Terra, take the mic and then point at the people that you think were overlooking. And the whole thing will continue. And he says, no, don't talk to me. I said, no, but why do you tell me that this thing is staged? When I answer you, you say I must not talk to you. That's the whole thing. There was nothing. He's crying. He's going to cry tears. The people want the section to be amended. There's nothing you can do about it. Cope does not have people. Terra is the membership of Cope. He's the leader.
I reckon I'd back Terra, though, in a fist fight.
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Yeah, Julius has lost too much weight. And he's never been in any dangerous situation. Julius is really, he's a cotton wool coddled politician. Monsieur Lakota was in jail.
Yes.
He knows how to look after himself. I'd back Monsieur Lakota any day in a fight. Julius would go down like a chihuahua.
And then last but not least, we were speaking about the zombie apocalypse, just briefly. A few minutes ago, not yesterday.
Is this someone, Poppy? Are you about to tell us that it's going on?
This is someone that we might need on our team. There's a curry powder throwing robber in Cape Town.
Good skill.
He walked into a shop, tried to steal stuff, but obviously now to distract the owner of the shop, he threw curry powder in his face.
Wow, that's very unexpected. It's a clever strategy,
It is a clever strategy.
Very light weapon, too, so you can move with that.
Burns your eyes?
Well, yeah, it burns your eyes. He didn't get very far. He did get arrested. But, I mean, I want to applaud the guy for the effort and for thinking of something as simple as curry powder. Take what's in your kitchen. These robbers are always a step ahead. So I feel like curry powder can be used as some kind of weapon against robbers, too. That's what I'm going to start carrying in my bag.
Curry powder.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ethereum's trading $431.70 and Bitcoin, crappy Bitcoin, $6,086.82. That's the price of those cryptocurrencies at the moment. Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, the Germans go full Proteas at the World Cup. Brazil show their class. Justin Thomas is the only American playing the French Open. Serena Williams gets seeded at Wimbledon. I've messed this all up. Let's just get into it.
All right. It was a great intro, Ben. Don't believe what anyone tells you.
Yeah, World Cup. So everyone thought it would be so easy. Germany were given the lifeline of South Korea, just had to beat them and they go through. Whereas the other game was a bit more sort of closely contested and it would be Mexico versus Sweden. Mm-hmm. But again, you think Mexico were going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like South Korea and Sweden got together and they said, no, not on our watch. Today is going to be our day. Someone delivered a William Wallace kind of speech in their dressing rooms and they came out firing. Mexico got hammered 3-0 by Sweden, and Germany, in the kerfuffle of trying to get a goal, they conceded two after 90 minutes.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Korea were just showcasing they're actually now the best Korea because they got to beat Germany.
Well, I'll ask it again. Which Korea is best Korea?
It's South Korea.
No.
It's South Korea.
North Korea.
No, South Korea just beat Germany, Gareth.
All right.
So that means now... the defending champions have this strange, like, dodgy record when it comes to World Cups. So, France, when they won in 98, they didn't make it past the group stages. Brazil had managed to hold true there. But then Italy couldn't make it past the group stages after winning. Spain couldn't make it past the group stages after winning. Mm-hmm. And now Germany.
Mm.
How utterly...
It's the World Cup
utterly
hoodoo.
Embarrassing. Because it hasn't been since 1938 that they have missed the group stages. They generally always win the group stages.
Uh-oh.
More, at very least, second.
Germany went out in the group stages in 1938.
So angry.
And we know what happened next.
Exactly. So that was brilliant, really. That was really fun. Everyone thought, okay, great. Now more upsets, please. What's going to happen? Costa Rica, they drew with Switzerland, which is a huge result for Costa Rica. Not only did the fact that they managed to get a draw, it now means that all 32 teams in the competition have actually scored a goal in the tournament. So everyone got to go there and score a goal.
That's wonderful.
It really is. So Switzerland, the draw was good enough. So there we go.
Switzerland are through and then Brazil?
Yep. Serbia had flashes of brilliance and they really should have scored. I mean, they fluffed so many different chances. Marcelo went off for Brazil early on, which gave them a glimpse of something going forward, because he's obviously a stalwart of their defense. But Neymar was good, and Coutinho was good, and Paulinho was, they were all pretty good. Neymar is still rolling down this whole side of the field, if you were wondering. But yeah, Brazil won 2-0. So they go through.
How many times did Neymar fall down?
I can only count to 73, Gareth. Okay. After that, my brain just goes... So to look at the fixtures going into the weekend, France will take on Argentina. This is no particular order. I'll get into the actual fixtures tomorrow. But these are the teams that have qualified. France will take on Argentina. Uruguay will take on Portugal. Mm-hmm. Spain will take on Russia. Denmark will take on Croatia. Brazil versus Mexico. And Sweden versus Switzerland. I've always wanted those two teams to play against each other. Because they both got like sort of pluses. They're both... Yeah, so this is all very, very exciting. But today is when England's reality... slaps them in the face. Yep, like a first day in prison. They're going to get Lukaku and the rest of them from Belgium just saying, look, we're the big dicks in this pool. And that's going to happen tonight at 8 o'clock. Panama versus Tunisia will take place at the same time, but that match means absolutely nothing. Prior to that, though, the group that I think is probably the most interesting, without doubt, the most interesting group is Group H. Now, we all know that Senegal's in there. That's Africa's big last chance. Japan are in there, Colombia and Poland. Or we can forget about Poland. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Polish fans, but you lost twice, so that's not very good. You were lucky to be 8th seeded coming into the tournament, quite frankly.
Right.
Japan, though, they top the pool right now. They're on 4 points with a goal difference of one. Senegal are on 4 points, Colombia are on 3 points. So what does this mean fixture-wise? Well.
Tell us.
Say well again, there it is. Yeah. Senegal will take on Colombia, so that's the big one, right? Colombia, the biggest dicks in the tournament, literally, we all know that. And Senegal, well, I'm sure they'll take that to heart. So they'll be striding out at 4 o'clock. Then Japan versus Poland. So Japan, they know that they can just get a draw. They'll go to 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then hoping that the other two, well, they're kind of hoping Senegal, yeah.
I want Senegal through. So, I mean, it would be nice.
Then so think about it. So Colombia, I think, are going to beat Senegal. They look good in the last game. They've got all those fans. They'll go to 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, Senegal will be out and Japan will go through, regardless what happens against Poland. So that'll be the final round of games. And then we enter the knockouts. So, mm-hmm. So Friday will be like a lull. Friday, you can get back to actually talking to your family and friends. And then Saturday, it's on again for football. But we'll give you all of those fixes tomorrow. Okay. All of them. Diego Maradona said that he's fine. He's totally fine. He's okay. And unfortunately, he didn't take the advice of his doctor. So his doctor at halftime said, look, Diego, dude, you got to chill out of it. You're just all over the place.
Too much coke.
His blood pressure suddenly dropped. Just suddenly dropped. And he was like, well, doctor, you never know what's going to happen. I'm risking everything just like my team. It's like,
yeah.
This guy rolled the dice in his life every single day. But he stayed and he watched the second half. And that's why he was drowsy and it was an absolute mess.
Sure, it
his
wasn't
blood
drugs.
Pressure was just... on the floor, along with his dignity. But he'll be fine. And he'll be fine for the rest of the weekend watching the games. But probably a little bit less drugs now. So the big story we were saying yesterday was that Serena...
Just a little bit less. Just one less gram.
Just one of his pockets will be full of cocaine going to the next game. Not his whole jacket. He wears one of those big, like, down puffer jacket things. It's just full of cocaine. So Serena Williams, should she be seeded? Should she not be seeded? Sybil Kova was like, no way, I want to be seeded.
Yeah.
So the All England Lawnton and Scone Club, they've given her the 25th seed. So she'll be sure. One behind Maria Sharapova.
Mm-hmm.
So Sybil Kova drops out completely. Agnieszka Radwanska will be the 32nd seed now.
Sure.
And in the men's, well, Andy Murray, he of course had that hip surgery. Didn't come back so well. He's played a few games. He got absolutely smashed.
Why are we even talking about stupid Andy Murray?
Because he's with Wimbledon. That's what happens. He's like that lone favorite for the English, that is.
Ugh.
He has not been given the seed, though. So much so that he's thinking, well, I'll make a judgment call how I feel on Friday. I might not play. But he's saying he's actually surprised how well he is playing, considering his layoff.
I'm holding my breath, Andy.
Yeah, Andy, no one actually really cares because everyone's moved on. Roger Federer will be the top seed despite the fact that Rafael Nadal is currently the world number one.
Okay.
So that's their discretion of Wimbledon. They can change the seeding up a bit. Kevin Anderson is the lone South African, as always. We only can only have one South African tennis player in the mix. He's the 8th seed. Novak Djokovic is the 12th
Yay.
Seed. Nick, I don't give a crap. Kyrgios is the 16th seed, so this is where he normally throws his toys the most, if you're looking for that. Yeah, it's seating, I guess. I mean, you know, the good people are going to be in the right place. And Joanna Konta and Carl Edmund are the highest local seeds. So they'll be the ones that you'll be hearing the names being shouted. Because you know those Brits. Go on, Joanna. Go on, Kyle. And they'll be shouting that. And then all that. Simona Halep will be the top seed in the women's draw. Obviously, Caroline Wozniacki, the second seed. And Garbine Muguruza will be the third seed. All Wimbledon. Right. How bloody exciting. It's up. It's soon. And that's where you know it's the dead of winter here in the Southern Hemisphere. But it's the height of summer in the Northern Hemisphere. Justin Thomas, he is the second best golfer in the world. He was number one, then Dustin Johnson got back into it. Well, he will be at Le Golf National preparing for the Ryder Cup.
Did you just say Le preparing?
Yeah, but he's the only American who's making this call.
Are you?
So, like, the Ryder Cup's a huge deal. Obviously, massive for the Americans because they haven't won away from home in so long. Like, so long. So, the French Open will be played at the golf course where the Ryder Cup's taking place in September. And Thomas is the only American who's actually decided to put his big boy pants on and cross the pond. See, like, golfers in America mostly, they make bajillions of dollars. And they can just sit around. Some of them even stay in their motorhomes. Bubba Watson, millions and millions. But he'll travel with his motorhome because, you know.
Because he's a... Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a... I think it's a missed opportunity here. And, of course, the Open Championship is coming up. So now the European Tour becomes fascinating because now, obviously, the French Open at Le Golf National just outside of Paris. And then we go into the links section, so we'll see the Scottish Open, the Irish Open, and then obviously the Open Championship. Still, bloody good field at the French Open. John Rahm's playing, Tommy Fleetwood's defending his title there, and that's going to be huge exciting. It's a really cool course, and of course, where the Ryder Cup will be played in September, so you can get to understand what's going to go on there. And then Super Rugby is back this weekend. You know what, let's see if it fits tomorrow. Yeah. Just, all right, just
well,
so you know,
leave something.
There is rugby this weekend.
Good to know.
Thanks, right. Ben. I can tell you're really enthusiastic about it. Yeah. All right, let's get to Sia. It's time for Said by Sia. Take it away.
Do you remember a while ago I spoke about the two South Africans who made the list of being the Queen's Young Leader Award recipients for this year? Yes, yes.
What happened?
Yes. Well, those two South Africans finally met the Queen this week over in London town.
How do you do?
Absolutely. They clutched their pearls and they shook hands with the right people. Siphosi Thumbuli and Thamsanqa Hoza have been recognized by Queen Elizabeth.
I want to see the Queen say those names. That would be funny.
Thamsanqa.
Imagine. I mean, I want to hear the Queen
that is
saying
such
that.
Such a good point.
That'd be good. Just say them again. You try and do it.
Siphosi Thumbuli. She can sort of wrap her tongue around. Thamsanqa. That's the one for her. Nope. But the two that met Queen. Met Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace this week, yes, as part of the Queen's Young Leaders Program. Now, this program recognizes and celebrates exceptional people between the ages of 18 and 29 years old who are taking the lead in their communities and using their skills to transform lives. Mm-hmm. So, actually, the first one, Siphosi, to set up an organization called Love the Skin. The company works to end the stigma around albinism, and according to the Queen's Young Leaders website, Love the Skin currently works with over 100 people, the majority of whom come from disadvantaged backgrounds, and provides them with necessities like sun protection and eye care. We may overlook this, but this is actually quite
a big deal.
And then the second person, Thamsanqa Hoza, set up Hot Nozzle in 2014.
Ooh, the Queen must like the sound of Hot Nozzle.
While he was studying at the Law Hill Maritime Center, Hot Nozzle is basically a battery-operated showerhead which heats up water. And he developed this while he was 18 years old. Yeah. He's based in Cape Town, and he's also launching a robotics science and technology program to help students learn how to conceptualize, design, and to build robot models.
He's going
to
build the Terminator.
Jeez, look at this. So they're definitely flying the South African flag very, very high. They were seen schmoozing with the Queen and the Duke and Duchess of Sussex as well in Buckingham Palace.
Is that Harry and Meghan?
Yes.
Okay, I need to remind myself.
Just class them up with the official titles.
Harry and Meghan.
Yes. But I think it's so cool. So Sipho Setimbuli and Thamsanqa Hoza finally made it to Buckingham Palace. And I want to applaud them just once again for Sebastia this morning.
You want to hear how the Queen sounds when she says those names?
Thamsanqa.
Here we go. Listen to this. It's her struggling with the names.
I don't blame her.
No,
God
no.
Save the Queen.
She should really learn. It's time. It is time. It's time for her to make an effort. All right, so many things to get to, so many things to talk about. We're going to have our friend from Washington, D.C., Debbie Droke, pop by in a minute or two. We're going to speak to her about what's going on in the U.S. We'll take your calls, your messages, 0797482090. Tell us what you are up to. And if there is you know, something you want to say, you want to actually call in 0861-555-189. Say with me, 0861-555-189.
This is CliffCentral.com.